Christ is Lord. Amen.
This day to be able to come and worship you.
Y'all happy this morning? Let's sing that. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, then your face will surely show. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. Amen. Yeah, that's all I was going to do. That's good. All right, we got one more for you. This one we've done before, and I know y'all see this morning we're kind of running on a low crew. I know we've got some out this morning that are sick, just that crud going around. Even myself this morning, I've been struggling the past couple weeks with my voice, so kind of had to change things up on this song this morning, but I don't want us to lose this first verse. It says, 1,000 generations falling down in worship to sing the song of ages to the Lamb. To all who've gone before us and all who will believe will sing the song of ages to the Lamb. I just want y'all to just get that picture in your head. One day we're all going to be in heaven. We're not going to have this sickness. We're not going to have this mess we have to deal with and all these pains and aches and cancer and all these things that just this life throws at us. But one of these days, we're going to be sitting before the King of Kings, and everybody that's there with him will be just singing, "Worthy is the Lamb. Holy, 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 holy forever is our God." Amen. And we don't have to wait till heaven to experience that. We can sing his praises right now. So let's stand and sing, "Holy Forever." A 1,000 generations falling down in worship to sing the song of ages to the Lamb. Yeah. And all who've gone before us and all who will believe will sing the song of ages to the Lamb. Your name is the highest, and your name is the greatest, and your name stands above them all. Lift him up. All thrones and dominions and all powers and positions in your name stands above them all. And the angels cry, "Holy." All creation cries, "Holy, you are lifted high. Holy, holy forever." Let me hear you sing it out. And if you've been forgiven, and if you've been redeemed, then sing the song forever to the Lamb. Yeah. And if you walk in freedom, And if you bear his name, then sing the song forever to the Lamb. Come on. We'll sing the song forever and amen. And the angels cry, holy, all creation cries, holy, you are lifted high, holy, holy forever. Hear your people sing, holy, to the King of Kings. Holy, you will always be holy, holy forever. Come on, your name is the highest. Your name is the highest, and your name is the greatest, and your name stands above them all. Yes, Jesus. All thrones and dominions and all powers and positions in your name stands above them all. Sing that again. Your name is the highest, and your name is the greatest, and your name stands above them all thrones and dominions and all powers and positions in your name stands above them all. And the angels cry, holy, the creation cries, holy, you are lifted high, holy, holy forever. Hear your people sing, holy, to the King of Kings. Holy, you will always be holy, holy forever. You will always be holy, holy forever. Thank you, Lord. We serve you this morning, Lord. We're just so grateful that we serve a holy God. Lord, you are so good. And Lord, I just thank you for your presence here today, God. We know that you're with us. Lord, you said that where two or more are gathered in your name, Lord, you're there. Lord, we just want to hear your voice now. Lord, I pray that you speak through Brother Bill. Lord, we leave this place changed. It's not being just another day we just come and attend this service or this gathering, God, but this would just be a life-changing experience for each person in this room. Lord, we want to experience you right now. God, you are such a holy and good God. Thank you for this past week that you've gotten me through. Lord, I pray for this upcoming week, for those that are in this room, those listening on Facebook, or those listening on the radio. Lord, I speak the name of Jesus over them. And I just pray that you just be with every situation, each person, each life. God, make your presence known in such an awesome way right now. Thank you for who you are. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated.
Amen. What an incredible God we serve this morning. Amen. That is above all powers, above all dominions and principalities. Amen. Hey, I want you to find your place with me in 1 John chapter 5. 1 John in the 5th chapter. You may not know this. I don't try to portray this necessarily. Most of you probably, you know, in what little bit you know about me, you probably, if somebody asked you, hey, how would you describe Brother Bill? You'd probably say, well, he's just kind of laid back, kind of quiet, kind of introverted. very non-competitive, right? But there's a secret side of me. There's a secret side of me that is very, very competitive. I'm the kind of guy that gets invited to somebody's house to play Monopoly, and I bring my own money from the Monopoly game with me and stuff in my socks, okay, just to make sure that I win, okay? I wouldn't say that I'm a sore loser, but I would say that I am a very, very sore winner. You think it's bad when I lose? You don't want to be around me when I win. I have a tendency to rub it in a little bit. And if I can beat you a little, I try to beat you a lot, okay? So I like to compete, and I really like to win, okay? And let's be honest this morning. You're laughing at me, but I know you're laughing with me. Because there's many of you that are the same way, right? My wife says she is the most non-competitive person that she's ever known. Well, she's only known herself. But she's competitive in her own way. Every one of us have a little bit of competition in us. I have the opportunity sometimes on Mondays to walk through the building and walk down to the other end. And we have this sweet, godly little group of ladies here. And I won't call any of them by name. I could start, you know. But they play dominoes. And you walk in the room and you can just feel the spirit of competition. Not the spirit of the Lord, but you can feel the spirit of competition. Right, ladies? Right? Yeah, we all like to compete. We really like to win. And I believe that that is a God-given gift. Because God has created us to win. God created us to be victorious. Come on now. So somebody, you need to listen this morning, okay? Because there's a victory that God wants you to win. Now, I want to back up a little bit and bring you forward. Today's going to be the last message about this spiritual warfare. But I want you to understand how we got here, okay? Because we began back in Ephesians, the very first verse, chapter 1, and we've walked through Ephesians. Paul begins to write there to the church at Ephesus. He says, I want you to know what it is to live in Christ. What your life is to have Christ living in you. That you have been seated with Christ. That you have been saved by His grace through faith. And because you've already been saved, because God has already saved you and sealed you, then there's this life that you can live. And so if we're seated in Christ, then how do we walk out Christ? It is to live in Christ and then to live out Christ. If Christ is in me, then how does my life look? How do I live? How do I go to work? How do I interact with my spouse, with my children, with my co-workers, with my neighbors, with my fellow believers and sisters in Christ, okay? And so he helps us to know what it is to live in Christ, what it is to live out Christ. And then in chapter 6, he says, we don't battle against flesh and blood, but we battle against powers and principalities. He says to stand then. So we've gone from sitting to walking, to being able to stand firm in our relationship with Christ and in our relationship with others so that we can walk and live and stand victoriously. The saddest human being on the planet Earth is a defeated Christian. I would almost argue that a defeated Christian is kind of an oxymoron. That if you're a Christian, you should be victorious. And you should be living a victorious life. Now, that doesn't mean that you're going to be healthy and happy and have a lot of money, okay? That's not the definition of what it is to be victorious. We're going to kind of get into some of that this morning a little bit. But God wants you to live in victory. God wants you to know that Satan has been defeated. And when we think about victories in our life, if you're sports-minded, you think about some of the great sports victories in the world. You know, you look at baseball, you look at football, you look at all the greatest comebacks, all those kind of things, right? If you think about militarily, you think about, you know, our victories that we've won in wars, in World War I, World War II, and you know, different wars that we've won. But according to polls that have been taken, the greatest military victory that's ever been won was Israel over most of all the Middle East back in 1948. When God reestablished Israel as a nation. And the reason that it was so monumental is because they were simply so outnumbered. The odds were overwhelmingly against them. Their generals were often in their 20s because everyone else had been killed. That they were a young fighting force. That they didn't have tanks or an air force or a navy or heavy artillery. That they created just the way that they went around the war in the street fight and how creative they were in their attacks and the fact that they won this war in 6 days. You think about it, from 79 AD when the temple was destroyed and Roman overtook to 1948, Israel as a nation did not exist. The people existed. God kept his hand on them, right? But then in less than all of those thousands, a couple of thousands of years, God turned all that around in 6 days. What an incredible God we serve. Amen? And you see, it's that God that wants to give you a victory this morning. Listen, if you're not interested in winning, you're probably a New Orleans Saints fan. Right? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to hurt anybody this morning, okay? Hopefully they'll win today. I don't know. Just picking. Now, we all want to win, right? We all want to win a victory. And God wants you to have that victory today. And some of you have been living this life of defeat and despair and doom. And this morning, this very morning, God wants you to understand this victory. Look with me, if you will, in 1 John chapter 5. We're going to look at a couple of verses in verse 4. He says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God." And before we get too far into this, I want you to understand something this morning. Who is it who has had the victory? Who is it who has overcome? Those who believe. And it's more than just the fact that you simply believe that God is God and that Jesus is Jesus. It's the fact that by faith you put your trust in them. Okay? The Bible says the devil believes. Listen, the devil has no doubt who God is. The devil has no doubt who Jesus is, right? The fact is that he's never given his life and trusted by faith Christ Jesus. That's important this morning. You see, to experience the victory that God has for you, you first have to trust Christ Jesus. Too many people are trying to win the victory and then come to Christ. Man, when I defeat this alcohol, man, I'm going to give my heart to Jesus. Man, when I overcome this addiction, then I'm going to give my heart to Jesus. Man, when I accomplish this part in my career, then I'm going to start giving my life to Jesus. Man, once I get these kids raised and out of the house and I've got some time, I'm going to start living for Jesus. No, listen, friend, the victory doesn't come until you trust Jesus. And so many today are living defeated because they've never come to that place of trusting Christ Jesus. And so I just want us to walk through this. This verse is so powerful. It kind of recalls for us the words of Jesus himself in John chapter 16 and verse 33. He says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you might find peace. He says there, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Amen? Amen. I don't care what the world has thrown at you this week. Know this morning that God has overcome all of those. So this morning, look with me. John states, first of all, this victory is a fact. Look what he says there in verse 4. He says, and this is the victory. He doesn't say this will be the victory or this could be the victory. He says this is the victory. This is a fact. Look to the person next to you and say, this victory is a fact, Jack. Amen? Hey, this victory is a fact. It is settled. Now, it's interesting when you look through this and kind of get down into the weeds a little bit. This word victory, it's the noun form of this Greek word. Overcome is the verb form of this word. And it's the Greek word Nike. Anybody familiar with Nike? Okay. We have that as a logo today, as a company and athletic brand and all those kind of things. But it really represents a Greek goddess of victory, who also happens to be the name of a United States, one of our arsenals, one of our missiles they named as Nike. It represents victory. It represents overcoming. And so, listen, how we get in life sometimes and we forget that this victory is already won. Sometimes I'll turn on the TV and they'll be showing some replays of a game that I've watched, and I'm like, I already know the outcome of the game. I've already watched this. I don't care that they're down 6-0 right now, because I know they come back and win. And there's no pressure on my life, right? I don't get all upset about it. It doesn't bother me. I already know what the outcome is going to be. What I'm trying to tell you something, friend, this morning is God's already won the victory. It might look like you're 6-0, but you win the victory. Amen? Heard about a little fellow one day was playing ball, and his dad showed up to the game late, and he walked up, and it was the top of the first inning, and they were already getting beat 19-0. And he said, wow, son, looks like y'all really getting beat. He said, don't worry, Dad, we hadn't batted yet. Listen, I'm telling you something, friend. I don't care what the score is. I don't care what the score. We win the victory. This victory is a fact. Somebody told me one time that the most useless score, most useless statistic in sports, Jack, was the score at halftime. Amen? Man, it doesn't matter what the score is at halftime. The most important score is what the score is at the end of the game. You win the first quarter, the second quarter, and the third quarter, but if you don't win the fourth quarter, listen, we have a guy who's already won the final victory. It's a fact. You cannot claim victory unless you have already won the victory. And John writes here that this is the victory. The implication then is that the battle has already been won. The victory has already been secured. And we are the victors. In Romans chapter 8, in verse 37, it says, yet in all things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. I want you to look at this verse this morning. This is a verse that's often quoted by many of us, right? Any of you, maybe you have this verse underlined in your Bible. Maybe you have it crocheted on your wall. Maybe you have it needle stitched on. You know, you got a sign somewhere. This is a verse that you kind of go to. Yet in all things, we are more than conquerors through Jesus, the one who loved us. Here's what's interesting. This word conquerors, in the original language, it's written to the extent that it means that we are overcomers. The Vulgate, the Latin version of the Bible, says that we are overcomers. That's to be more than just overcomers. It doesn't mean that you just pulled it out in the last minute. It doesn't mean that you were behind the whole game and then in the last second, you won. No, it means that we are overcomers. It means that we scored first, we scored often, we scored last, and we were the only ones to score. Amen? That's the victory that is the fact that God wants us to live in. Listen, for a Christian, to be a conqueror is a great thing. But when we understand that we are conquerors through Him who loved us. Listen, I'm not a conqueror because I'm a competitive person. I'm not a conqueror because I'm skilled at life. I'm not a conqueror because I'm a preacher. I'm a conqueror because of the one who loved me. And He's already settled the fact. Amen? Doesn't matter what my performance is today. Doesn't matter what my performance is tomorrow. Doesn't matter what happened last week. It won't happen, and it won't matter what happened next week. God has already given me the victory. In John chapter 17 and verse 15, did you know that Jesus prayed for you? Did you realize that? In John chapter 17, Jesus prays for us. And in verse 15, He says, I pray that you not take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. Jesus has already prayed for us, that we would understand and that we would live in the reality of this victory. When we think about walking in this life and walking in victory, let's just be honest. Sometimes it's hard to walk in victory. Amen? Man, the world's difficult sometimes. It's hard to be honest in business, right? You know, nice guys finish last, all those kind of things. But you see, when we understand that the victory's already been settled, it gives us then the confidence to be honest in business. When we understand that we're already walking in victory, we don't have to live in life and try to manipulate and try to deceive people. We can be honest with ourselves, we can be honest with one another, and we can live this life of victory. I love what Paul wrote to the church at Galatians. Galatians chapter 6 in verse 15. He says, but God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. You know what that means? That means because I've already had victory over the world, I don't have to prove myself to the world. Because God's already given me that victory. I don't have to compete with the world because that competition's already been won. It means that as I live life, I'm free. I'm free from the world's customs. I can maintain my freedom and obey God in all things. It means that we are raised above the circumstances, that we've already overcome whatever that situation is. Some of you will walk out of here and it will be fresh on your heart and mind. And tomorrow morning, you will face a situation and you will think, wow, this is overwhelming. But if you realize that the victory's already been won, then the situation's no longer overwhelming. Amen? What an incredible peace that is. We're above all the world's authority. We're above the influence of the world. We're above even the things of this world that the world puts pressure on us to be and to act and to do. Paul again gives thanks in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 57. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, our greatest enemy, our greatest threat is death. Yesterday, I got to travel down close to Columbia, Mississippi. Dear, dear preacher friend of mine, Brother John Watts, 97 years old, retired from the ministry, and his wife had passed away, got remarried, was a member of our church. And Brother John was just an incredible, incredible man of God. I went down yesterday to participate in his funeral. And you see, we stood there in that church and we stood out there in the cemetery and we laid that body to rest. But I want you to know, Brother John Watts is more alive today than he ever was. Brother John was 6'6", big man, just a big man of God. And I'm telling you today, today he's bigger than life. Because you see, Paul writes here to the Corinthians, though he is dead, yet he lives. You see, it doesn't matter. Our greatest enemy is death. The devil says, I'm going to kill you. You ever faced that? Been in a situation? Whoo, man, I don't know if I can survive this. This is going to kill me. No, it won't. Because God's already won the victory. Even over death, we have victory. Our greatest enemy has been destroyed and defeated. Somebody ought to say amen. 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 So John states this victory is a fact. But then John states that this victory is by faith. He says, our faith. What is this victory? Our faith. Again, it's the fact, if you haven't put your faith and your trust in Christ Jesus, then friend, you have no idea what I'm talking about this morning. You're doomed and damned for an eternity in hell. No wonder you're defeated. No wonder you're despaired and depressed this morning. But I'm trying to tell you this morning, if you put your faith and your trust in Christ Jesus, you can have this victory that is a fact. You see, we don't accomplish and we don't earn this victory. This victory that is a fact is bestowed upon us through our faith. By the grace of God, it's given to us. In the previous chapter, in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4, John writes this. He says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Amen? Hey, give him a praise this morning. It's not that you've overcome the world. It's he who is in you. How did he get in you? Because you trusted him as your Lord and Savior. And you invited him to come into your heart and into your life. To live and to reign as Lord, as ruler of your life. In verse 5 he says, who is this? He says, he who has believed. So faith in the truth of God's word. Faith in the reality of God's character. Faith in the strength and the skill and the wisdom of our commander, which we talked about. We put all of our faith and trust in him, and he is the one who gives us that victory. Listen to this. I wish I had written this down, or I wish I had thought about this. Faith, eyeing the prize, gives the victory to the Christian combatant and secures the glory to the captain of our salvation. When we look to the author and the finisher of our what? Faith. It's through faith that we have this victory. I was sharing in our small group this morning, we were talking about the Bible and the reliability of the Bible, reliability of the Old Testament and the New Testament, and all those things. And I was sharing with them that you know, we're talking about these ancient writers who were eyewitnesses, and they wrote of these things. And in 1 John chapter 1, he says, we've written these things to you, that which we have seen, that which we have heard, that which we've touched. They're reliable witnesses, right? And so we were talking about that, and I was talking about the fact that I love going back and listening and reading to guys of old, guys that wrote way back in the day, before we had TV and telephones and all these distractions, guys that just sat alone with God and meditated upon the Word of God to glean from their time. And Matthew Henry commentary says this about this very passage. He says, faith, in and by faith we cleave to Christ in opposition to the world. So this morning, you're either going to put your faith in your job, you're going to put your faith in your health, you're going to put your faith in your money. You're going to put your faith in whatever this world has to offer. Or you're going to put your faith in Christ Jesus. Moses says, looking at Egypt's riches, I chose Christ's greater riches. By faith. I see what the world has to offer. I can't even envision what God has to offer. And I'm going to trust what God has to offer is greater than what this world has to offer. It's to trust Him in that. It's to faith sacrifices the heart and or sanctifies the heart, and it purifies us from all those other things. Listen, when we put our faith and our trust in God, and we look full in His wonderful face, then the things of this old world grow strangely, strangely dim. And those things don't even become attractive to us anymore, right? Because faith changes our sight. Listen, faith receives strength from Christ and is able then to conquer the world. Faith obtains the gospel promise. It's by faith that we receive this salvation. I'm sure most of you have seen acronyms of faith. I'm going to share a couple of them with you this morning. Just what faith, how we can apply faith to our life. Notice, first of all, faith, F-A-I-T-H. Okay? We have that, Elton? We don't have that? Oh, man. So good. Should. Anyway, let me share it with you. Faith. Oh, there we go. Forsaking all. See, by faith. Forsaking all, I trust Him. Forsaking all, I trust Him. That's a good definition of faith. What it means to just trust God. Put all your faith in. And then second, find assurance in trusting Him. See, all the wishy-washy stuff of life, all the doubts of life, all of the confusion of life, all of that can be changed to assurance when we just simply trust Him. Amen? And then, fact accepted in the heart. This victory is a fact. Faith means that we accept that in our heart. Amen? That's good. And then, forwarding all issues to heaven. Hey, I don't know what we're going to do about this. I'm going to send it on to heaven and let God take care of it. Amen? That's a good one. And here's my favorite. Fear ain't in this house. Hello? Fear ain't in this house. That's my favorite of all. Listen, I don't care what the world challenges us with. I don't care how big the opposition is. Faith says there's no fear in this house. Amen? By faith, we overcome. Our victory is a fact, and we receive that victory through faith. And then lastly, John states this victory is fruitful. There's benefits. There's rewards to this. The word overcome here is one of John's favorites. He mentions it in 1 John chapter 2 with reference of overcoming the devil. If you go to Revelations chapter 2, we're not going to put these on the screen, but just for the sake of time, this victory, this overcoming in Revelation 2 in verse 7, it says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to him," or to the churches, "to him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." See, there's a reward. Because we've overcome, we get to eat from the tree of life. Amen? Isn't that good? And then in verse 11, he says this. He says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death." You see, our reward is by faith, this victory that we have, we don't have to fear death now. We don't have to fear spiritual death where we're separated from God. So over and over again, John uses this term of overcoming to point to the benefits, to the fruits of this victory. You see, this victory is more than us just being able to come to church and go, "Woo-wee, we win." No, this victory has benefits. This victory bears fruit in our life. Because this victory gives us then the ability to walk in this life victorious without fear of death, without being overcome by the things of this world. He says in verse 17, he says that we overcome, we get to eat from the manna of heaven. Man, there's all these rewards, all these benefits. We are triumphant through Christ Jesus. And He conquers all of the passions and all the lust of our life, and He gives us the greater things of God. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 24, "Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. See, our greatest reward is our inheritance in heaven. Amen? The fact today that we have an eternal life that's promised to us. We get to experience victory here on earth in the here and now. And we get to experience victory for all of eternity. Amen? It's better than the 72 dolphins who went undefeated. Okay? I mean, it's for all of eternity. Amen? It's for now and forever that we get to experience this victory. And it breaks my heart to think this morning that there would be people in this building today. It breaks my heart that there would be people that would be watching online, listening on the radio, that would not realize and would not be living in the victory that's already a fact, that's been made available by faith to bear fruit in their life. I heard about a Civil War veteran who was wandering from place to place after the war, begging, looking for a place to sleep, looking for a bite of food to eat. And everywhere he went, he would always tell people that he was a friend of Abraham Lincoln. And one day he was sharing and begging for bread and looking for a place to eat. And he was telling this guy that he was a personal friend of Abraham Lincoln. And the guy asked him, he said, so you say that you knew Mr. Lincoln. He said, can you prove that? And he said, oh, I can prove that. And he pulled out a slip of paper and he handed it to the man. And he said, I have this note. He said, I'm not good at reading, but I know this is Mr. Lincoln's signature. And he gave it to me. And he handed this man this piece of paper. And he said, sir, he said, I don't know if you really understand what you have here. He said, what you have here is a federal pension signed by the President of the United States. He said, you don't have to go through life begging, looking for bread and looking for a place to eat. You're rich. You have money at your disposal. You have a means to provide for yourself that's been given to you. Friend, I want you to understand this morning. The victory has already been won. And God has given us a signed pension that provides for all of our needs, for here and for all of eternity. Some of you this morning, you don't realize how rich you are and how rich you've been made in Christ Jesus. It breaks my heart this morning that there are some this morning who have never realized the victory that they can have by faith. But can I share something that would break my heart even more? Is having been told that there is a victory that is a fact, that's been made available to you by faith, that will bear fruit in your life, that you would walk away today and say, no, I'm going to keep trying it my way. No, I think there's a different way. I think there's another avenue, and that you would walk out of here today still defeated, still in darkness, still doomed for an eternity in hell. This morning, by faith, would you come to realize the victory that God has for you and allow God to begin to bear fruit in your life? Father God, this morning, we love you and we praise you. And God, we're so grateful for this morning. And God, we're most grateful, God, for the victory that we have in Christ Jesus. And so, Father, this morning, God, my heart's desire, God, is for those that are living a defeated life, God, that they could walk in the realization of the victory that's already been won. God, they would put their faith in you. And God, that they would allow you to just pour out your blessings on them. God, to meet their needs. and God, to go before them and defeat every enemy. And so, Father, I pray for them this morning. I pray, God, that today would be a day of salvation. And I pray, God, for myself, and I pray for others, Father. God, who have already by faith trusted you. That, God, we've trusted you. God, that you've defeated our greatest and our last enemy, death. And God, our eternity is secured with you. But God, I pray that you would help me, and God, that you would help others to walk in the reality that God, not only has death been defeated, but every foe has been defeated. And God, that we would trust you not only for our eternity, but God, that we could walk in victory every day. And so, Father, help us. Help us, Father, to walk by faith, to walk in victory. Father, this morning, we love you and we praise you. We ask you all this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. If you've never trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, would you simply put your faith in Him today and Him alone? As we stand and as we sing, you come this morning. Without waiting, come today.
As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You're my friend, and you are my brother, even though you are a king. I love you more than any other, so much more than anything.
Sing that to him this morning. Make you that your confession.
You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee.
Amen and amen. Man, I'm so thankful for you today, and I pray today that you're walking in the reality of that victory. And if for whatever reason, if you've never trusted Christ and you've yet to give your heart to Him, today, before it's too late, please call me, call a friend, share with somebody, put your faith and trust in Him, and experience an incredible victory that God has in store for you. Hey, just want to remind you before we get out of here, next Saturday, noon, our Trinity Connect lunch and afternoon fellowship time. So come be a part of that next week. I've shared before the service started just the importance of connecting and building relationships. And so I want to really encourage you to come and be a part of next Saturday afternoon with us, okay? Yes, yes. If just bring an appetite. If you don't have anything else to bring, just bring an appetite. And I've also been asked about tickets. We passed out tickets. That was just simply to get kind of an idea of a head count. And so if you don't have a ticket, please come. If you have a ticket and you have a neighbor that wants to come and they don't have a ticket, bring them with us, with you, okay? And so I promise you, I can say this. They tell you don't ever say never, right? I've never been to a Baptist function that we were short of food. Okay?
Amen.
So you come and be a part. We'll have a great time, I promise you. Okay? All right. Good stuff, man. Good worship today. Let's sing something in our closing
worship
time.
All hail King Jesus.
All hail King
Jesus.
Lift
him up as we
leave. Amen. Amen.
All hail King Jesus, all hail Emmanuel, King of kings, Lord of lords, bright morning star. And throughout eternity, I'll sing his praises. And I'll reign with him throughout eternity.